Greetings again, pilgrims. This is Pastor Bob coming to you live from our broadcasting studios in the Parsonage in Arthur, Illinois. We're at the House of Peace, and the snow is beginning to fall. Very slowly, very gently. Beautiful to watch, but it's going to get cold. So let us prepare ourselves and warm up spiritually today with a devotion for our New Year launching pad from Michael Casey and his book, Balaam's Donkey. So we'll have a devotion, then a little surprise poem, and we'll close with a prayer. And I hope you stay safe and warm through this weekend. Here in the studios, we've got some nice heavenly rain, relaxing harp and piano music background today. Something a little different for you. And we've got the hot pink candle that we used at our retreat this week. And the flame is stretching high to the sky. And we've got the old standby. Nectar of the gods in a mug right there. The kava with a little dash of milk. Another sip. All right, that means we're ready. So let's stop and slow down. Let's take a second for this music to help slow us down, quiet our soul, and soothe our spirit. Amen. Today's devotion is called Inclusiveness by Michael Casey. It reminded me of, I was at my very first church out of seminary in a town north of Lexington called North Middletown. And the quote-unquote big city down the road was Paris, Kentucky. Paris, Kentucky has, of horse racing, thoroughbred fame. But the pastors in Paris, in our county, were putting together a revival. And of course, you recruit the new guy, right? That's mandatory. So they asked me to join them and come to the planning meeting. And it was there in my first pastorship that I encountered the group of Christian ministers that like to believe in black and white and us and them and good and bad. They based their whole religion on it. It's what their church was about. We're saved, and we have to go out and save everybody else. And in this meeting to plan the revival, we talked about our target audience. And it turned out the target audience was the unchurched. The unchurched, because by definition, they were unsaved. You see how easy and simple that is. If they're not in our churches, then obviously, they can't be saved like we are in our church. That's some dangerous stuff, folks. And Protestantism in America has suffered from that dis-ease probably since they first landed on the shores of this country to escape the strict rules of the Church of England that imposing on them. So they come here and they impose their strict rules on everybody else. Well, I'm here to tell you, I believe in church. I think it's our best hope we got going forward. I think it changes lives, and I think it can save souls, but it's not the church doing it, you see. It's introducing people to Jesus Christ. And let Jesus do the saving, please, if you don't mind. Anyway, before I break into a sermon, let's hear the little devotion called Inclusiveness. Here's what Michael Casey says. One of the lessons that Jesus was constantly teaching his disciples was that no one was unimportant. No one was unimportant. This is the message behind his welcoming of small children and his harsh condemnation of any who would scandalize these little ones, right? In the kingdom of God, no one is unimportant. It is the same message given in the parables. The loss of one coin out of 10 is a call to turn the house upside down looking for it. And the loss of one sheep out of 100 demands that the many are abandoned in search for the one that strayed. The feast of the kingdom demands that all be present. This is sometimes a difficult truth to accept. We acknowledge that God wills all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, but inwardly, we believe and we hope that some will be excluded. Yet for God, it is not good enough that 99% are saved. A 1% loss is not acceptable to God. The parable of the Good Shepherd demonstrates this. It is important that we do not identify being saved with being one of us. There is nominally a Christian sect that has adopted the name Exclusive Brethren. Exclusive Brethren. As an indication that their identity is derived not from the membership, but from those who are outside the membership. We may be faintly amused at such presumption, but we are probably a little bit guilty of the same fault. If we say, "You have to be one of us if you are to enjoy God's favor," our way of thinking deserves the rebuke addressed to Peter. It is human, not divine. It is good for us to pray for the coming of the kingdom, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. It is good for us to be proactive in drawing others to that kingdom. This does not mean converting others to be more like us. First of all, it means accepting the mystery of God's radical inclusiveness by which all are brought into a unity in Christ. This is a vast cosmic drama, but we participate in it by acting locally, by breaking down local barriers that exclude. 99% inclusion is not enough. Our aim is nothing less than full inclusion, even if that means embracing some whom we would have thought belonged outside. Amen. Got a little special treat today. Yesterday in the Prairie Archives bookstore in Springfield, I recommend it highly, by the way. It's right downtown by the Lincoln Center stuff, pretty close to that. I picked up a book called Mantras for the Midnight by Robert Morneau, who was also a Catholic priest and bishop. His book, Mantras for the Midnight. And in the chapter on ambiguity, and this relates to some things that came up Wednesday night in our discussion group, ambiguity, he writes a little poem called Seek and Find. Seek and Find. And it refers to the cloud of unknowing. And remember, we talked Wednesday night, and if you weren't there, we talked about the need to accept the mystery, to admit the things we do not know and cannot know, and that only God could know, not us. We're not meant to know. And this comes from a famous book called The Cloud of Unknowing. In spirituality, it was written by an anonymous author, but it speaks to this whole point of ambiguity being a key to surrender and then truly coming to know God. So here's the little poem, Seek and Find, about the importance of this cloud of unknowing that we must put ourselves in order to truly relate to God on a truthful, honest level. Seek and Find. In this cloud of unknowing, In this cloud of unknowing, John of the Cross found silent music. Julian of Norwich discovered a courteous, familiar God. Paul was taken into the heights of heaven. Augustine fell in love with the Lord. And Teresa came home to an interior castle. In this cloud of unknowing, all clarity is turned into mystery. All self-righteousness yields to humility. All judgmentalism bows to compassion. All pride quakes before the divine presence. And all arrogance falls before God's mountain. In this cloud of unknowing, Amen. Seek and find, but realize that what you're seeking can only be known in your spirit and not through your senses. Let us pray. Loving Father, your will is that all are to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Help us to be less discriminating in the welcome we give and the love we extend. Help us to work for the unity for which Christ prayed. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the Lord, the Master, our King. Amen.